Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
So good to see all of you. What?
Smoozer.
I've got nothing to gain from it, just encouragement, pure encouragement. Oh, thank you. Hey, say it again. Yeah. No. No. My gift to you is a short message. So you got 10 minutes. You're welcome. That's my gift to you. If you don't see an envelope in your little mailbox, just this is it. This is it to all of you. You're welcome. So today I'll be talking about gifts. Obviously, I think we were all super, super blessed by everyone that shared today in the worship team. Yeah. So good. Really thankful for that. And then the hospitality team in between services, gifting us with food. Praise the Lord for that. So if you guys want to open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, we'll be looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. And this is really, it's going to be a short message. It's really built, I feel like the Lord put it on my heart, just to be an encouragement to you, to really exhort you, and to really, is this better? Okay, good. To really lift you guys up and to start thinking internally, even about yourselves, about what gifts God has given you that maybe are dormant. And I know that the Lord wants to activate them today. And I'm just believing that over your life. So if you're there at Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, let's go ahead and read. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives, give with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So we see here a lot of varying gifts, and the chapter even goes on and talks about even hospitality as being a gift from the Lord. We've met some probably unhospitable people. We've probably met some unmerciful people, unkind people in our lives. So we know that there are others that are gifted with those gifts of hospitality, mercy, kindness, leadership, teaching, prophecy, etc. Maybe you see it here in this church or in the workplace, in your family. There's many areas where we can practice our gifts, and many places where we need encouragement in our gifts. And so I hope that this place today, this message, encourages you. I have 4 points. For each point is going to address a different area in our life where maybe we feel limited in our gift, or we struggle with practicing our gift because of this one thing. The first point is a sense of unworthiness. Sometimes we feel limited in our gifts or don't want to practice our gifts because we feel that we're unworthy. Sometimes we think our life needs to be in perfect order before we can do something for the Lord, and it's simply not true. In 1 Timothy 1:15, we see Paul, who was the writer of also potentially Romans. No, he did write Romans. It was potentially Hebrews. That's the one. Yeah, Romans. He did write Romans. Yeah, amen. I was like, I got the bezel right here. I'm looking right at him. He's smiling. Yeah. Yeah. Delete that from the CD. No. He wrote Romans, and, you know, Paul was a Christian killer. He used to kill Christians. He'd pull them out of their homes and kill the families and the husbands and the wives, and they'd kill them if they believed in Christ and proclaimed him as Savior. So he had a lot of dirt in his life that he had to deal with and put in his past. And there's things that he still struggled with in his life. Just because we read the word and we don't hear of his sin doesn't mean that he was perfect. No one was perfect other than Christ. Even after salvation, no one was perfect. They still sinned. But he didn't let his past and his current problems hold him back from the things that God had called him to do, from his gift of teaching and leadership and starting churches and building sermons and communicating to various people groups. So that gift that God had given him was not stifled because he didn't look at himself and said, I shouldn't be doing this because I'm not good enough. He understood that Christ is good enough and he's redeeming me and he's called me to do this, so I'm going to do it. And as long as we're aiming in the right direction, that's what I believe God wants to say. As long as we're aiming in the right direction, God can and will use you. If it's for God and not just for you, which is something we got to remember as well, that we're using our gifts not just for our own sake, not just for other people's sake, but for God's sake. We want to be used in the hands of God. So he's got to receive the glory. We can also be insecure in thinking that what we have isn't good or it isn't good enough. In Luke 21, we see the widow with the two mites. Probably all of us know this story. But there was this very poor widow. She had two mites, which is like less than a penny in our currency. She had two pennies, and she could have looked at all these rich people that were coming and very arrogantly coming and bringing all their riches to the temple and displaying that and saying, look at this great sacrifice that we're doing. But because they were rich and they were giving with this arrogance to them, she could have looked back and said, you know what? What I have isn't even really worth it. Why even give two mites? It's not going to help anyone. But it wasn't about that. It was about the posture of your heart. She looked at her little and she still said, this is all that I have. I give it to you, Lord. Please use it. And Jesus acknowledges this woman as having greater faith and he honors her. And I think that matters more than receiving honor from men or receiving honor from the Lord. So a sense of unworthiness, it's baloney. We are worthy in the eyes of our Savior. He redeems us and he restores us and he heals us. Amen?
Amen.
So let's use our gifts. Number two, arrogance. Arrogance can limit our gifts. Sometimes our arrogance limits our gifts' effectiveness. Gosh, I couldn't say it first service either. Gifts' effectiveness and power. In Matthew 6:5, we see, and when you pray, Matthew 6:5, if you're taking notes, Matthew 6:5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So if we're coming with a posture like, I know that I can preach, or I know that I can sing, or I know that I have lots of money, and we come into a place kind of just with that on our sleeve, and it's not this humble gift that we've been given from God, but we kind of flippantly are displaying it to people around us, you know, showing off our good voice instead of like worshiping the Lord with it, you know, and things like that. We all have certain gifts that we know that maybe we know we're really good at it and we want to, you know, display it. We want people to think that we're really good at these things when really it's not redeemed yet because you're not using it till God's glory, for God's glory, right? So our arrogance really limits our effectiveness. The blessing that these people could have received through their giving, they didn't receive it from the Lord. The reward was just glory from other people. They gave what they did, and they received their reward by just other people seeing it. Oh, wow, that guy gave a lot. Good for him. Cool. Wow, he must be so wealthy. That's all that they get. But we want to receive our gifts, our rewards from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Number three, and if you guys heard my last message, it was a little while ago, it was on fear. And fear is another area in our lives that can really limit our gifts, the effectiveness and the power of our gifts, if we live in fear, if we live in a posture of fear of maybe what people might think, or even a fear of the responsibility that comes along with that gift. Now, Pastor Steve, he has the gift of teaching. Now, that means, and I mean, we all have the gift of salvation, you know? And so we all need to be held accountable to this as well. We forget. But Pastor Steve, when he teaches about grace and love and kindness and truth and all of these things, but then he goes out and he's just a belligerent jerk, it's terrible, you know? Like, where would be the power? Where would be, you know, obviously, and he's not that way. We all know. But I can use this as an example because he gave me a hard time earlier. But Paul wrote Romans. But he could be afraid, like, I can't teach this week because the responsibility, I'm going to have to now hold myself accountable to what I'm going to be teaching on. And I have to do that myself, you know? Like when I talk about fear, I have to then address what gifts in myself am I not practicing because of fear of man? And it was finally hitting me this week when I was writing this sermon that I used to sing. And this isn't even in my notes, but I said it last service, and I had three or four people after service, which I didn't want them to do, but they did anyways. I said, I used to sing a lot. I used to lead worship. I used to be a part of teams, and that was a gift that I really practiced a lot, and I loved it. And God was using me and opening up doors a lot of areas, and I just stopped. And because I stopped, I have built up almost like a fear of practicing it again, you know, standing in front of a mic and doing that again. Like, this has become almost more comfortable for me teaching, which it used to not be. And so, but that fear of man has taken place, and I really want to work through that. So being transparent here, hold me accountable to that. And other people are already telling me that I was supposed to sing after this message, but I won't do that. soon to come. 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 to 7, it says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands, of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen?
Amen.
Number 4, last point, we forget. Our gifts are limited because we forget about them. Sometimes we think our gift or what we have is unwanted or unnecessary. So we don't use our gifts, talents, and then we forget about them. And that's kind of where I wanted to end as we pray. In Hebrews 10:24-25, we've been through Hebrews. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And now, we all have gifts. Some of us don't even know about our gifts. Some of us are young and have never even known what a gift is from God. And so this message right here in Hebrews is talking about laying on of hands and encouraging one another and lifting up one another and calling out the good in others. Sometimes we don't even know what we're gifted in, but we need someone to lay hands on us, to pray for us, and to call those things into existence by faith. God has given us all liberally gifts and talents and dreams and passions and things that excite us and things that He's called us to do. And we can forget about them because we're not being encouraged to do them. And so I've been encouraged. I know I feel like sometimes I'm preaching to the choir here. When I build these sermons, I'm teaching. I'm like, but our church is so good at this already. Like, I feel so encouraged every single week that I come here. So many people here lift me up and encourage the things that I'm doing, encourage Pastor Steve. I feel encouraged by him. And I just pray that we start doing that to each other, not just to people in leadership, but to our kids and to our parents and to our siblings and to our cousins and our neighbors and our coworkers and things like that. Things that are, the word of encouragement can change someone's life. It really can. Depression is at an all-time high. And if we started encouraging people more, I think that would change. I know that would change. If we not just flatter people, flattery is very different. Flattery is about me, but encouragement is about the other person. So I pray that we practice that so that people don't forget the gifts that God's given them. You know, I said that last service, and then, like I said, like four people came up to me and they're like, I've heard you. I've heard you sing. You have a voice of an angel. And two people said that, and I'm like, oh, sure, yeah. You know, but like, that's my own thing. I need to work through that. Like, maybe I do, but arrogance, I got to get on that. No, but I just want us to remember, let's encourage one another in our gifts. And maybe it's just hospitality. Maybe you can't sing. Maybe you can't dance. Maybe you can't play guitar. Maybe you can't orchestrate a dance. Like, my wife orchestrated the dance for the children, if you saw that. She did great. Maybe you can't do something like that. Maybe you're not creative, but you have a gift of mercy, or you're just really good at putting chairs out, or vacuuming, or hospitality, baking. You can definitely be gifted in baking, that's for sure. I know Brandy, she made a pineapple upside down cake, and it was killer. So you can definitely be gifted in making food. But whatever it might be that God's gifted you in, don't forget it. And when you see others acting in their gift, encourage them so they do not forget. Amen? Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this absolutely beautiful day. I know it's chilly, but it's nice. I just thank you for the gifts that have been presented to you today. I pray that you get all the glory. and all the praise, Lord. And I just pray for every single person here, Lord, that feels stale, that feels stagnant, that feels like their gifts and dreams or passions or pursuits in life have been dormant or silent or put on mute. Lord God, I pray that you would unpackage those gifts, that you would break down every wall that's holding them back from practicing and growing in those gifts and those talents and those dreams, Father God. I pray that there would be an excitement like never before for the people in this church, in this home, in this body to be activated for the work of your ministry, Lord God, on this earth. And I just pray that we would be effective witnesses in our community, in our home, in our neighborhood, in this city, in this nation, Lord God, that Christians like never before, their voices would be heard, Lord God, that we would shine bright because we wouldn't be shining for ourselves. We would be shining for you and because of you. Lord God, I pray that you be with us and thank you for sending the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. That's who we are here to celebrate and that's who we're giving our gifts to. Lord, it is all for you. And in Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen.
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 We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.